بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders, last week we discussed Hatim al-Asam rahmatullahi alayh and his association with his Ustad Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullahi alayh, and we had discussed some biography of both the student and the Ustad, and the very intriguing story of Hatim Asam when he had left for Hajj and his children, and what had transpired, how Allah Ta'ala provided for him and for his family. And then we had just commenced that his Shaykh, his Ustad, Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullahi alayhi, had asked him that you've been with me for such a long period, 33 years, what did you benefit, what did you gain from me? He said, I have gained 8 things from you. So the Ustad obviously was quite shocked that 33 years you spent, only 8 things you learned. He said, in any case, what are they? So the first one, he said, I looked at the creation, I looked at the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I noticed that everyone showed affection and love to someone dear and beloved. So every person attached some love to some person who was beloved to him. And he says that some loved ones stayed with the lover till his deathbed. The person was loyal, and right till his deathbed, the beloved was standing there. And of course, some till the pit of the grave. Then the loved one goes away and leaves the lover all alone and lonely. So he said, I looked at this, that the lover is with the beloved till mort. After that, there's separation. None of them stays with him in the qabr. I reflected and came to the conclusion that the best beloved to a man is one who enters the grave with him and stays with him, keeps him company there. So this I did not find in anything but in a'mali saliha, in virtuous deeds. I thus took a'mali saliha, righteous deeds, as my beloved, to be a lamp for me in the qabr and to keep me company there. Such company that this a'mali saliha will not leave me alone in the qabr. It will not move away or return, it will stay with me. So, a'mali saliha is something that we even discussed in the last Jummah. Righteous deeds, person has iman, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with iman. But Allah Ta'ala expects us now to obey Him and to do righteous deeds, pious deeds. These are the two things, iman and a'mali saliha, for which Allah Ta'ala promises in this world, hayatan tayyibah, a wholesome, pure, good life. And also in the qabr. A'mali saliha is the only thing that will assist the person in the qabr. The poet says, Billahi ya nafsu isma'i wa'aqili maqalatan qalaha nasihu. He says, Ati qasam, O nafs, listen and understand, comprehend the statement and the words of wisdom that a person who was delivering nasihat had given. What did he say? He says, لا ينفع الإنسان في قبره إلا التقى والعمل الصالح. Nothing will benefit man in his qabr except taqwa and a'mal saliha. The only thing that will benefit this person in his qabr now, because in the qabr a person cannot give salat, he can't give zakat, there's no amal that he can do. Whatever a'mal he did in this world, the benefits of that Allah Ta'ala will give him even in the qabr. Therefore, whilst we have the life, we have the time, we have the opportunity, we have the strength, we should endeavor in doing and gain and doing more and more a'mali saliha. There are so many things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many acts and deeds that if a person does, it wins the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the things we should be preparing for the qabr, because this is going to be the company in the qabr. So this was the first thing he said, I learned from you. That the only thing that will help me in the qabr, the real beloved and the true beloved who will keep me company in the qabr, will be amal saliha. The second thing he said, I saw the makhluk following its vain desires and hastening to fulfill its ambitions. So people all around me, every person is just following his desires, and every person wants to fulfill his ambitions. I reflected over Allah Ta'ala's declaration, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. This is a very beautiful ayat, the tafsir of which we discussed previously many times in many of the majlises. Whosoever fears standing before Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, every person will have to account for his deeds. There'll be a reckoning, there'll be hisab kitab. So that person who fears that he will be standing before Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala all alone, in the hadith of Rasulullah SAW is mentioned, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ tarjuman. Between this person and Allah Rabbul Izzat, there will be no interpreter. There will be no other person to try and explain. There will be no tarjuman. The word is mentioned, tarjuman, which translates as interpreter. The person will speak directly to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And Allah will question us. Did you do so, such and such acts, certain times, certain days, certain hours, certain moment? Did you not do this? Did you not do that? Did I not give you all these ni'mat? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question the person. Questions upon questions. So the person who fears the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how am I going to answer my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He has this khawf and fear. And because he has this khawf and fear, that he has to answer for all the deeds he is doing in this world. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He therefore restrains his nafs or himself from following his nafs, from his base desires. He doesn't become a slave of his passions. Whatever his nafs demands, dictates to him, the person doesn't just abide by the dictates of the nafs. He looks at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is. Which way is my nafs pulling me? Towards the commandment of Allah? Towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or just the satisfaction of the nafs? So the person who fears this, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. The jannat is his abode. So he says, I reflected on this particular verse. And when I had seen that everybody else is just following the vain desires, and everybody else is just hastening to fulfill the ambitions, I reflected over this verse. I was convinced that the Qur'an is true, the word of Allah, the kalam of Allah is the truth. I therefore hasten to oppose my nafs. So he said, 33 years, I learned these things. And these are vital things. I began to oppose my nafs. And I rolled my sleeves up to wage jihad against my nafs. And stop it from vain desires. Until my nafs became trained to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we had mentioned previously, this nafs requires training, requires nurturing all the time. So once a person trains the nafs, then the nafs becomes suppressed. Once the nafs becomes suppressed, now it becomes easy for the person to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever the command is then. So this is the second thing he said, I learned from you, O my Ustad. The third thing is, I saw every person striving to gather the flotsam and the jetsam of this world, those things which are not important, the unimportant objects of this world, and then grasping firmly onto it with their hands. I just pondered over Allah Ta'ala's statement, whatever you will have will perish, whatever Allah has is everlasting. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Allah Ta'ala says, O insan, you will gather and gather and gather, and all the possessions you have and all the treasures you have, it must come to an end one day. It will become exhausted. But the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are vast, unending. Allah Ta'ala will give and give and give and give and give, and nothing diminishes from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like it is mentioned in Hadith al-Qudsi, a very long hadith, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to give every single human being and every single jinn, all standing on a common platform, common ground, and each person is asking and begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the fulfillment of some dua, some desire. Allah ta'ala says, I will give each person whatever he is requesting, and nothing will diminish and decrease from my treasures. إِلَّا كَمَا يَنْقُصُ الْمِخْيَةُ إِذَا أُدْخِلَ الْبَحْرِ Except this amount, and of course, means nothing. But just for our understanding, Allah says, take a pin, take a needle, and place it into the huge ocean of this world. Take a needle, place it, dip it into the ocean, and then you remove this pin. How much of water will be decreased now from the ocean? Nothing. Exactly that Allah says, I will give and give and give, and nothing diminishes from my treasures. Nothing decreases from my treasures. So he said, and I pondered over this, I realized, whatever Allah has will always remain. What insan has will come to an end. I thus expended my capital of this world for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbursing it to the masakeen, the poor, as my investment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the material things I had, of course, after the necessity of the person, then the person gives to the poor, the masakeen, the needy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked the Sahaba to slaughter an animal and to distribute it. Then he asked Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what remains of the animal? So she said, katifuha, the shoulder of the animal that's left. Everything else has been distributed. So Rasulullah says, everything remains besides the shoulder, meaning the sawab for all the other parts of the animal that we had distributed, that remains. غَيْرَ كَتِفِهَا beside the shoulder, we haven't fixed the sawab for it yet. Only after we distribute this and give this to the poor, the needy, whoever, then we will get sawab for this as well. This sawab remains for us in the akhirat. So he says, I then began to spend on the poor and the needy. So these are the three things. Number four, he says, indeed I have seen some people laboring under the impression that the honor and dignity are with the crowds and a huge family. He said, I looked at people around me and I saw they were working, they were under the impression that honor, izzat, sharafat, honor and dignity are with the crowds and having huge crowds and having a big family, huge family. They are deceived by their numbers. They are deceived by their numbers. Others again think that the honor and pride are in being very rich and having many offspring. Some people feel having a lot of money or having many offspring. Then there are those even who assume the honor and glory to be in robbing people of their wealth, oppressing people, murdering them. Some people again believe that throwing away money, spending it freely and wasting it, brings honor. He said, I reflected over the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ Verily the most honorable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that fears Allah ta'ala amongst you the most. The one who has most taqwa in his heart. The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. He says, I therefore adopted taqwa. And I resigned myself to believe that the Quran is the true word, the true book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst their opinion and perception are batil and za'il, corrupt and fleeting in entirety. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ If a person wants honor, so true honor in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the person inculcating in himself taqwa. أَتْقَاكُمْ Allah says, the one who has got most taqwa, he is the most honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these are things that we hear all the time. But Hazrat Hatim Asam rahmatullahi alayh, after studying so many kitabs and so many sciences and spending such close companionship with his sheikh and his ustad of the caliber of Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullahi alayh, and he comes to these things which we hear all the time. These are the 8 lessons, he says. These are the things that I learned from you. And of course, not just learned, he implemented these things. He put into his life. So he says, therefore I adopted taqwa. Then the 5th thing, he says, I saw people reproaching each other and speaking ill of each other. I found that to be the product of jealousy of others, wealth, position and knowledge. So people reproaching one another and speaking ill of each other. So when I pondered, all this reproaching and speaking ill of the other person was due to the jealousy a person has. And generally a person is jealous of the other person because of his wealth, because of his position or his knowledge. I then pondered over Allah Ta'ala's proclamation that we have allotted man's livelihood to them in this earthly life. Allah says, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That we have made taqseem. We have allotted, we have distributed each person's share in this world. How much each person will get in this world, Allah says, we have distributed this. So Allah has decided who is going to be rich, who is going to be poor, how much each person will get in this world. In fact, when the child is in the womb of the mother, at 4 months, when 120 days pass, on the passing of 120 days, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands an angel to blow the ruh. And amongst the things that Allah commands an angel to write out is the life span of this human being, this child that's going to come into this world, how long this child will live in this world, how many years. And also, bikatbi rizqihi. One is bikatbi ajrihi, and the other one, it's rizq. How much rosy this child will get. So everything is already decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith of Rasulullah, it is mentioned that a person will not taste death until he receives in full the provision that has been allotted to him in this world. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for a person that this is the amount he will receive in this world, this is how much of rosy he will consume, this is the provisions he will enjoy in this world, until he does not finish that provision, until he does not receive it, right to the last grain, right to the last grain of food, till then mort will not come to him. So everything has been recorded, or everything has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, I pondered and he said, if rosy has been allotted by Allah Ta'ala has already decided who will get how much. I just realized that this allocation from Allah Ta'ala is since eternity. I therefore do not harbor jealousy towards anyone. And I am contented with Allah Ta'ala's allocation. This is qana'at, which we discussed on Friday. To be content. If a person is content with whatever little he receives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his gaze will not fall onto the next person dunya, and it won't create any jealousy in his heart. But the moment he is not content, he will be greedy, and he'll keep on complaining. He will never make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And outwardly, if he expresses some shukr, he will immediately add to it in the same breath, but as though we are complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is nashukri. Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ. Allah ta'ala, after describing the war horses and how loyal they are to their master and how bravely they, courageously they go into the battlefield, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after taking a qasam on such horses, Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ. Unlike those horses that are so loyal to their masters. The horses are prepared to give their lives for the sake of their masters. Masters gives one instruction and he goes into the thick of the battle. Unlike those horses, Allah says, man keeps on complaining. He's ungrateful. Hasan Basri Rahmatullah used to say, Innal insan ya'uddul masaib. He keeps on counting, this musibat came upon me. He reflects and he keeps on talking, I had this problem, and that illness, and that sickness, and this problem. But he fails to count the ni'mat Allah has given him. He fails to see the health Allah Ta'ala gave him, the wealth Allah has given him, the ability to move, the ability to see, the ability to function well. So many ni'mas, the air that we're breathing, the water that we're drinking. So insan wayansan al-ni'am, he forgets all the ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given him. But he'll keep on counting all the calamities that he is faced with. So this is when man becomes kanood, ungrateful to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Therefore, we have been exhorted by Quran and Hadith to have qana'at. In the Hadith, it is mentioned, Rasulullah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ. Successful is that person who has brought Islam. وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا. And he is given sufficient rozi. وَقَنَّعَ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَاهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him, وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَاهُ. Allah gives him qana'at. Allah gives him the contentment with whatever Allah has provided for him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that qana'at and contentment. We find the muzruq, mashayikh in the dua. Ya Allah, give us qana'at, give us shukr, give us tawazu. These are all those qualities which we discussed some time back when we did about the realm of the world. We explained akhlaqi hamida and akhlaqi razila. Akhlaqi hamida are those good qualities. Qualities that we all should be having. Like shukr, qana'at, making tawbah, istighfar, sabr, having humility. And razila, razail, those qualities that we should not be having. Anger, jealousy, pride, etc. Number six, he said, I saw people, that people are enemies with each other for base motives. I contemplated over Allah Ta'ala's statement, verily shaitan is your enemy, and therefore take him to be your enemy. I just came to the conclusion that it is not permissible to be enemies with anyone besides shaitan. How does one take shaitan to be one's enemy? Shaitan's mission is to deflect, stop and mislead the creation of Allah Ta'ala from Allah Ta'ala's obedience and Sirat al-Mustaqim. Shaitan promotes and peddles wrongdoing, evil and haram. Taking shaitan as an enemy means to regard these actions which are classified as disobedience unto Allah Ta'ala and straying from Sirat al-Mustaqim as acts to incumbently abstain from and stay far away from whatever shaitan tries to entice us with and command us with and take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wishes to lead us astray. So these are the things we should refrain from. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, this is my straight path. Follow this straight path. Do not follow the path of shaitan. Shaitan has taken a promise. He's taken a vow. As long as man has got life, I will stand in his pathway. Like the Quran says, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. In the same Sirat al-Mustaqim, Shaitan said, I will sit there and I will wait to mislead man. So as long as he's got ruh, ma dama fihi ruh, as long as man has got life, I will mislead man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies in one hadith of Qudsi mentioned, Shaitan, I take qasam in my grandeur, my majesty, as long as man has got life, I will keep on forgiving him. I will keep on giving him. If he turns to me, I will keep on making him maaf and forgiving him. The doors of tawbah will be open for him. So shaitan is our avowed enemy. Innahu lakum aduwwum mubeen. He says, when I saw this, I said, decided, no use having any other person as my enemy. Let me take shaitan as my enemy and be watchful now that I must not become trapped by shaitan. The seventh one, I have seen everyone striving with vigor, laboring in search of food and livelihood, and showing complete disregard for mushtabah, doubtful and haram things. I have seen people striving with great vigor, laboring in search for food, livelihood, and having complete disregard for that which is dubious, which is doubtful, mushtabah, and which is haram. In the process, they only disgrace themselves and spoil their own reputation. Allah Ta'ala protect us. How many people fall into gambling or consuming haram or dealing with haram, and they're not even bothered whether the goods that they are selling is from halal sources or haram. So they will deceive, they will cheat, just to make more and more money. A person will do all these things. What happens in the end when he is caught out? It only brings nadamat and zillat. So then his reputation is spoiled. Then I reflected over Allah Ta'ala's declaration, وَمَا مِن دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, that there is no creature on earth, but it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon himself to sustain every single creature. We just look at ourselves, human beings. It's mind-boggling, it's amazing how Allah Ta'ala provides. Sometimes somebody gives you something, and you share it with somebody else, or you went on some journey, and when you open your food, some other foreigner from some other land is sitting next to you, or in the plane, you offered him that, and he eats that. So look at how Allah Ta'ala provides something that is made here to somebody else so far. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah should give the example when he went to Karachi, chocolates were from some place, and he said, we took it to Karachi, but the rats had been eating that chocolates. So see how Allah Ta'ala provided. And he said that chocolate was made for the milk, and that milk was derived from that cow, maybe somewhere in New Zealand, and manufactured here in South Africa, and it was consumed by the rats in Pakistan. So this is all how Allah Ta'ala provides. If we were ever given the chance and opportunity to provide, we won't even be able to provide for our own families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for the entire mankind. Not only the human being, but every creation Allah ta'ala has created. Just in the sea, we don't even know what type of creatures they are in the sea. The different types of fish. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them. So he says, when I realize this, that my sustenance, my rozi, is the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has assured it, I therefore turned my attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I did not have avarice and greed, and I did not look at any person, any other person then. I only turned my gaze to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this does not mean a person mustn't make an effort for his rozi. طلب كسب الحلال فريضة بعد الفريضة. After the other faraid, namaz, salat, zakat, hajj, etc., it is incumbent upon every person to go seek his halal livelihood, not haram, seek his halal livelihood. And we had mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man talaba dunya halalan, that person who seeks dunya, but what dunya? Halal, he's earning halal rozi. Isti'afafan anil mas'ala, he's not going out, or he's going out to earn halal livelihood so that he refrains from begging. He does not want to stretch his hand out and beg from people. Sa'yan ala ahlihi, he's making an effort on his for his family. He wants to bring some food home and put onto the table for his wife and children. Ta'attufan ala jarihi, and even to show some compassion and kindness to his neighbors. So this is his niyat. He's seeking dunya halal, and he does not want to beg. He refrains from begging. He wants to provide for his family and his neighbors. So on the day of Qiyamah, he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his face shining like the 14th full moon. Subhanallah. This is the niyat we must go out when we go out to do our business. Seeking halal, providing for our family, not to beg, and of course for our neighbors. Then a person will meet Allah ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah with his face shining like the 14th full moon. There's a poet. He says, لا تعجلن فليس الرزق بال فليس الرزق بالعجل الرزق في اللوح مكتوب مع الأجل فلو صبرنا لكان الرزق يطلبنا لكنه خلق الإنسان من عجل. He says, that don't haste in seeking rosy that must come to you immediately. You have to make an effort, but don't expect instant results. You made some effort and you want to see the fruits of your effort immediately. And you want to see the millions of rands pouring immediately. He says, الرزق في اللوح مكتوب مع الأجل. Exactly what you mentioned, that according to your lifespan in this world, that amount of rosy has been written for you already in Lohi Mahfuz. Allah has already decreed that. That 70 years, 80 years you will live in this world, Allah says you will get so much of rosy. It's already written. فَلَوْ صَبَرْنَا لَكَانَ الرِّزْقُ يَطْلُبُنَا. If we just make a little bit of sabr, after making an effort, not just sitting back at home and not making an effort, making an effort, halal effort, and then we must make sabr. He says, الرِّزْقُ يَطْلُبُنَا. Rosy will search for us. Rosy will follow us. لَكِنَّهُ خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. See, but the problem, the musibat is, man has been created in haste. He just wants to do everything hastily. He's got ujdat in him. He just wants to haste, he wants to rush. He doesn't have sabr. Therefore, what we should be doing, after making a proper effort, then make some sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely give us what He has already written for us. So this is what he said. When I saw everybody else, that they are just making efforts, but they are not bothered. It comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a time will come, a man will not bother whether he is source of livelihood, am min al halal, am min al haram. Whether it is from halal sources or haram sources. It doesn't bother him. As long as he's making some money out of the whole thing. So exactly that he says, the person, he says, so the makhluk, they're striving with vigor, and they're laboring, but they are not bothered whether the food that they are consuming, or the livelihood that they are getting, is it from doubtful sources or haram sources. So in the process, they are actually bringing disgrace upon themselves. So he said, I do not want to disgrace myself. I pondered over this ayat, that Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon Himself, that Allah will provide for all His creation. Therefore, whatever effort I will make, then I have yaqeen in this verse that Allah Ta'ala will provide for me. And the eighth one, the last advice that he, or the last benefit that he had mentioned that he had got from, derived from his sheikh, he says, I saw everything relying on some created entity or the other. Someone money, some people relied on money, someone capital, someone authority, someone the profession and jobs, and some on like creation on other people. I then contemplated the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever reposes his trust in Allah, Allah is sufficient for him. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever places full tawakkul, which we had discussed also in great length, full reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala becomes sufficient for him. When we don't have full tawakkul on Allah, and we place our reliance on the means that are in front of us, then we will not get the desired results that we are searching for. But after adopting the means that Allah has provided, our full reliance must only be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will suffice us. Verily Allah completes His work. Indeed, Allah has determined for everything a quantity. He says, I thus repose my trust in Allah ta'ala, so He is sufficient for me, and He is an excellent guardian, a protector, a helper. Like the person said, Tawakkal ala Rahmani fil amri kulli. Have full trust only upon Rahman, upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every single matter, not only on rozi, not only for your rizq, in everything in the dunya, we have this issue and that problem. Whatever it is, have full tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't become complacent. Don't feel that you are helpless. Outwardly everything seems, all the doors seem to be closed. He says, continue, make the correct effort. And he says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَالَ لِمَرْيَمْ. Don't you ponder, don't you reflect, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded Maryam alayhi salatu salam. We know the whole incident where Allah ta'ala blessed her with a child. Maryam alayhi salatu salam had no husband. Now Allah Ta'ala wants to show the miraculous birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Ta'ala tells them, go move away, far away, far away from your hometown. And she now experienced labor pains. There's no doctor, there's no midwife. She's got nobody to assist her. And now she needs some strength. She's weak. Allah says, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكَ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. Allah Ta'ala tells her that shake the branches of this tree, Khajur tree, and from there fresh rutab, dates were falling. And there was a river. Allah Ta'ala tells us, drink from this river and you must shake this tree. So he says, haven't you pondered over this? If Allah wished, he could have provided for her that rutab and that water without even her having to shake the branches. But Allah wants to show us that you have to make some little effort, and then rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent down this rutab for her and gave her that water to drink. Exact like that, we should not feel that we cannot do, we are useless, we tried so many things, now I'd rather just take my life away, and everything seems to be so difficult, and everybody else is enjoying, and why I'm having this problem? No. Make the correct effort continuously, and then have firm reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is that we always go to Allah ta'ala last, instead of going to Allah ta'ala first. Any problem do we have? First, before we ask the next person, or before we complain to the next person, first talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person can read for rakat namaz, or you can't, raise your hands, beg, talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I've got this problem. Ya Allah, you are halal mushkilat. You are the one who brings an answer to all problems. You solve, you are the solver of all problems. And then adopt the means that Allah has provided. And then you see the results. But when we decided to go to every other means first, and when one doesn't work, the second doesn't work, the third doesn't work, finally we decide, rather go do, now make dua to Allah Ta'ala. So that Allah Ta'ala then also delays giving us whatever we require. So tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, this is what I learned. Hazrat Shaqib Balkhi rahmatullahi replied, may Allah Ta'ala grant you the tawfiq to make amal. And he said, the Torah, the Injil, the Zabur, and the Furqan, the Quran. Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq, or Allah give you the light of all these things. Whoever practices on these 8 treasures that you have mentioned is actually making amal on all these divine scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the true scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these kitabs, these were the common things mentioned in all these kitabs. These were the 8 things that Hatim Asam rahmatullahi alayh had learned from his ustad, Hazrat Shaqib Balkhi rahmatullahi alayh. Again, the very first one was about a'mali saliha, righteous deeds. Second one was to oppose the nafs. Third one was to spend his dunya on the masakin, the poor. The fourth one was gaining taqwa. Fifth one having contentment, qana'at. And the sixth one was making shaitan his enemy. Seventh one, that the rizq comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make the little effort and turn to Allah ta'ala for one's rozi. And number 8, having full reliance and tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Then it continues. Actually, this whole thing was the student of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, who had wrote Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi and asked him for advices. And we discussed the last 2 majlises, all those advices. And part of these advices were the Hazrat Hatim Asam rahmatullahi's advices, what he had learned from his ustad, Hazrat Shaqib Balkhi rahmatullahi. And then he explained to him afterwards the requirements for suluk. And he says that first a person should have a qualified sheikh of tarbiyat. Understand that the salik should have a sheikh who is a spiritual guide and a trainer, so that this salik removes the evil character from himself. And with the spiritual training and tarbiyat of the sheikh, then the person will inculcate good character. And the gist of tarbiyah, he resembles the work of the farmer who removes thorns and weeds from in between the crops in order that his crop grows well and he gains a thorough yield. Exactly like that, the sheikh removes, or he tries to remove the weeds and the thorns from in between the crops so that the crops grow well then. It is imperative for the salik to have a sheikh who disciplines him and guides him to the path of Allah Ta'ala. We mentioned many times, we all aspire to have a sheikh who will keep on pampering us, and he will, won't worry, he won't even discipline us. So we feel, long as we are in his good books, we're doing very well, he's only praising us, or we praise his bayans and his majlises, and that's all. That is not called suluk. We are in total deception. And this is the problem most of us have. And therefore, if a person, as always mentioned, you, Allah protect us, if a car meets up with an accident, requires panel beating, you don't go and find such a panel beater who won't panel beat that car. He'll just say, okay, you just leave it by me, and I won't use the hammer, and I won't use this, and I won't use that to panel beat it. It will remain in that condition. The problem is, it is against our nafs. We don't want the hammering of the nafs. We don't want the discipline. So then our ruhani engines and cars will remain just as it is. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah help us. May Allah help us to get the right Shaykh Kamil who will guide us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had mentioned the qualities of a Shaykh Kamil. We discussed this previously. And second thing he said, to abstain from all evil company. And this is the essence of the talks of most of our mashayikh. They talk about having good suhbat and staying away from evil company. The moment a person, no matter who he is and how learned he may be, if he starts joining evil company, after some time, if he does not have an effect on those people and he joins them in the evil practices, then that evil company makes him also an evil person. May Allah protect us. The moment the person joins good company, no matter how evil he may have been previously, but the good company rubs off onto him and he also becomes pious. He begins to acquire knowledge of deen, and the desire comes in his heart, let me change my life now. Let me also become a good person. Suhbatul akhyar and suhbatul ashrar. May Allah give us the suhbat of good people and Allah protect us from the suhbat of ashrar. He says the two features of tasawuf. One is to be constant with Allah Ta'ala, and the second, to be calm with the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Thus, a person who is steadfast with Allah Azza wa Jal, who adopts beautiful character with people and deals with them with tolerance, he is a Sufi. Steadfastness is to relinquish the pleasure of the nafs and obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good character with mankind is that one does not impose upon others one's self-desire, but rather one imposes upon oneself the desire of others, as long as these do not defy the sharia. Of course, if the demands is against the sharia, then لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. You don't obey any creation if Allah is going to be disobeyed. But what we are talking about here, if there is no demand against sharia, then a person should see to the next person rather than following his own desires. And then he said about ubudiyat. He said, you asked me about ubudiyat. What is ubudiyat? He says, ubudiyat come from the word abdun. Abdun means slave. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram. We are all the abd, ibad of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Wa ibadur Rahman. We are the servants, the slaves, the bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is ubudiyat? He said, guarding the commandments of sharia. A person is a slave of Allah Rabbul Izzat means he guards the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contentment over fate, taqdeer, predestination, and the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like one slave, master asks, what is purchased the slave? He said, what name must I give you? He said, you are the Malik. Jo naam Malik rakhega, bas, I'll accept it. Whatever name the master gives me. Acha, what food you want? He said, jo Malik khilayenge, main khaunga. Whatever the master gives me, I'll eat. Like this, he gave answers. So this master realized then that how he should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our master. Allah is the real master, the true master. And we are all slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever Allah has predestined for us, through His infinite knowledge, then we accept that, we don't question that. And we forsake the pleasure of the nafs in search of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned about tawakkul, which we discussed already, where after making some effort, a person makes, he places his trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul is to reinforce your belief in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah has promised, you reinforce your belief in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned about ikhlas. He said, you asked me about ikhlas, sincerity. Ikhlas is for all your actions to be for the sake of Allah ta'ala. Your heart not becoming elated at the praises of people, nor do you care of them criticizing you. So when a person, if people praise him and people criticize him, it is equal for him. He does not become swollen headed if they praise him. Neither does he feel dejected and feel terrible and disgusted if they talk ill of him. Then he is a sincere person. He is doing it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know that ostentation, riya, is generated from honorable treatment by creation. People keep on saying, Hazrat, Hazrat, Hazrat. Then what happens? Automatically the person now, or it can happen that he develops in himself, riya and ostentation. The remedy for it is to consider the creation to be under the control of the divine power. And to think of the creation to be like lifeless objects that do not have the power to give comfort or cause any difficulty. In this way, you will extricate yourself from showing off to the creation. As long as you think of the creation to have power and determination, then riya and ostentation will shadow you. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal on these beautiful advices, these priceless advices that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned to his student, and especially the ones of Hatim Asam, which Shaqi Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi. May Allah Ta'ala make us his true ibad. May Allah bless us with ubudiyya, tawakkul, ikhlas, humility, all these good qualities for which we have to make an effort lifelong, inshallah. There isn't a time when any person can claim that all the akhlaqi hamida he has inculcated in himself and now there's no razail in his life. Nafs and shaitan will continue to oppose us, and we got to keep on warding nafs and shaitan and suppressing our nafs and opposing shaitan. And alhamdulillah, if we have with us good company, then Allah Ta'ala will protect us. If we have in front these verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is a provider and tawakkul should be only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan is our enemy, and all these ayats that we discuss, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will make that way towards him easy, and not just easy but enjoyable. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah.